Madam President, I come to the floor this afternoon to talk about the importance of aviation and continuing to focus on the workforce employed in aviation. I want to speak about the importance of the thousands of workers, including pilots, flight attendants, gate agents, baggage handlers, mechanics, catering workers, and many who are feeling the impacts of the COVID-19 pandemic. I believe we should continue to address the very important issues of the health aspects of the pandemic and the economic impact of the pandemic. But while we're working on developing a vaccine and developing better therapeutics and testing and stopping the spread of this virus, we also need to keep in mind that we do need transportation. Prior to the pandemic, the aviation industry supported nearly 11 million American jobs and put $1.8 trillion to work in our economy and contributed about 5.2% of our GDP. In fact, civilian aviation is the seventh leading contributor of overall economic productivity in the U.S. These are skilled, high-wage jobs critical to our economy that cannot be easily replaced. And that is why maintaining our aviation sector is vital to the long-term economic success of our country. When the pandemic hit, we saw a 96% drop in air travel and instantly jeopardized thousands of jobs in this sector. And we worked very hard on the CARES Act to create the right balance of capital for the aviation sector to continue, because it is essential we have workers who are delivered to their jobs and that we keep moving on solving these problems of the pandemic. The payroll support program created in the CARES Act, administered through the Department of Treasury, was designed to compensate aviation workers and preserve their jobs to help protect the essential aspects of aviation and airline services. And the program continues to cover those costs of keeping people employed and keeping this vital piece of transportation moving. This is critically important because just in a very short period of time, September 30th, this program is going to expire. Congress needs to act to extend the program. It's important that we provide through the PSP program the importance of aviation workers who are so essential to continue to deliver these services. Aviation not only helps people move around the country for personal reasons, essential business reasons, it also delivers good medicine and essential mail services. The fact that most people probably have forgotten how important airlines are to delivering the U.S. mail, but they're important. The CARES Act includes requirements to ensure that small markets continue to receive air service and association benefits. And as you can see, many of the airlines, in the uncertainty of what's happening with the CARES Act extension, are now cutting services to those communities. So doing another CARES Act bill would help us keep those services in these smaller communities. It was announced that as many as 50,000 airline jobs are at risk if we don't continue the payroll support program. So now is not the time to be uncertain. Now is time to give the airline sector the importance that it deserves of having airline workers continue to do their job. Every job lost means workers are earning less. It means the slowdown in the economy as a whole. It means that consumer spending, which is a big engine of our economy, slows down. And 70% of our GDP comes from that consumer spending. So these programs are important. If the payroll program is not extended, the cost of workers who lose their job will be simply shifted to the states in the form of unemployment benefit. And since we aren't solving the problems of the states also add to GDP. So we're not helping GDP by not coming to a resolution of the CARES Act. Unemployment doesn't cover the cost of a full salary. Each worker would have less to spend on gas and groceries, on mortgages, on medicine. And in the downturn of the economy that we have been facing, we can't afford more loss. Our economy is showing some signs of modest recovery as the result of the economic stimulus of the CARES Act, but many of those benefits are expiring. And I can tell you, as a member from the Pacific Northwest, I hear a lot from businesses who didn't get help and support in the PPP program and want it to continue so they too can be on par with some of their friends and neighbors who have been able to succeed economically. So right now, we are at a turning point. a turning point where we need the PPP program to continue and to help give certainty about transportation. We know nationally, on average, an aviation mechanic takes home about $1,600 per week in pay. But when these jobs are cut, the weekly income is cut. So let's look at a few states and a few examples. Right now in North Carolina, the weekly income for a mechanic is only Right now in North Carolina, the weekly income for a mechanic is only $350 a week in unemployment benefits and is facing a 79% cut in weekly income. So what I'm asking our colleagues to consider here is, as you think about shifting these transportation workers from this salary that they're getting now to unemployment benefit, you have to think about how dramatic these cuts are in some of these states. I'm proud that I come from a state where we have a pretty robust unemployment benefit. I thank our state and people who vote and support a robust unemployment benefit. But we are sending people home if we continue to not act on a CARES Act and PPP to states with unemployment benefits much less robust than my state. So facing a 79% cut in weekly income right now, I don't think is good for the aviation sector. When you look at a ramp agent in Georgia, on average, the weekly income from a ramp agent is about $850 per week. But now that any additional weekly benefits have run out, these workers now face a 57% income cut. And in state after state, we see these cuts in these weekly income. This means, as I said, less money to spend on groceries, less money to spend, you know, on essentials at home. We know additionally benefits in Florida. Pilots would see a 90% drop in income. Flight attendants a 75% drop. Mechanics an 83% drop. Agents a 68% drop. In Texas, we'd see an 85% drop in income. And flight attendants a 52% drop. And mechanics a 68% drop. And in agents for ramp work, a 48% drop. So my point here is to think about the need for us to continue this program, the need that not all states are going to be treated equally in how aviation workers will be affected, and how we're going to keep that important air travel moving for our economy. Without the extension, flight crews, flight attendants, and others will be impacted in another way. That is, that when you stop air transportation services, people have to, after a period of time, come back and be retrained and recertified. Many times here I've been participating in debates about tax credits or tax policy, and oftentimes we go past our deadline of December 31st and into the new year. And most people, even though we can't reach a conclusion, think, well, that's okay, we'll make it retroactive, so going past our deadline doesn't impact anything. In this case, it does impact something. Because once we hit the October 1st deadline and we start seeing these people in unemployment situations, the time starts ticking for the cost of re-certifying them to be in that cockpit or be of service. For example, pilots have to meet certain flying requirements to maintain currency in their pilot license. So without an extension of PPP, flight crews and flight attendants would need to be retrained at the cost of starting up again. And a PSP extension also means supporting their wages and making sure that they have available health care during this time period. I don't want to see one more American lose their health care benefits because of COVID. We're in a COVID crisis. We want people to be covered with health care so we can help fight this pandemic. So I know people here in the Congress are looking at the very short time period that we have left before September 30th. I'm calling on my colleagues to set aside our differences and come back to the table and make sure that we are addressing these issues before this major layoff. This is important because, as I said, this affects the GDP of our country. We still have an opportunity to sustain 950,000 frontline aviation workers. And this is important to helping our economy recover. It's important because aviation helps, as I said, grow the opportunities for the future. Tomorrow, my colleague Senator Scott and I will be announcing other aviation legislation that we too think will help the aviation sector. But for every 10% of travel that returns to aviation, it drives more than $1.5 billion into our economy. That's salary and wages and other aspects of the sector. That is the economic impact that we have by returning flight service. So the original premise around the COVID bill was for us not to decimate the airline industry because of the COVID impact so much that it wouldn't recover and that we wouldn't be there to retrain and take advantage of the upside as the public responds. We've now gone from that 95% loss of travel to right before the Labor Day weekend, about 40% of airline capacity and travel. So we want to continue to be ready to serve the public who has to fly. We want to make sure that it's safe for them to fly. And getting this extension of the COVID bill done before September 30th still remains a key priority. On the point of aviation, I would say my colleagues, besides the Cantwell Scott bill, will be dropping tomorrow to help focus on more aviation safety. My colleague Senator Wicker and I remain committed to continuing to work on aviation safety as it relates to certification legislation, and I hope all our colleagues on the Commerce Committee will continue to focus on that as well.